You are listening to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and role-playing gamers.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.
Hello and welcome to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and the people who play them. My name is Ran Aviram.
My name is Uri Lifshitz. Hello to you all.
And today is episode 70, which is a lot. And it's time for us to talk about something that has been troubling us since the very beginning, probably. Something that is very relevant, very important to both Uri and I. It is actually one of the main reasons we even produce this podcast, why we sit down every week and talk about role-playing games. Because we want to get better. And because a major part of getting better is feedback from others. And a major, major part of giving feedback is knowing how to do it. It's a skill, and you should be proficient with it.
Yeah, some of you might be asking, Uri, Eran, why are you recording this episode? Isn't this a role-playing podcast? Why are you not recording about a topic that is exclusively relevant to role-play and role-play only? Well, because feedback is important in everything, and role-playing is definitely falls under everything. It is no exception. And like Eran just said, feedback is the way we improve in what we do. And we should always strive to improve our games. Because this is so much fun. And just thinking about the fact that we can make it even more fun is, wow, mind-blowing.
Just the fact that people email us, and actually just the fact that people listen to this podcast, are enough for us to say that you care about your game and you, listener, want your game to be better. So you really should think about enhancing your feedback skill, and you should really be aware of the two aspects of it, giving it and receiving it.
Now, even just approaching the topic of feedback is an amazing chance for you to either tell your GM what you don't enjoy and getting that stuff pushed away. It is also a chance for you to show appreciation for your GM and your fellow players by giving them positive feedback. And of course, this is an amazing chance for yourself to try and distill the understanding of what it is you enjoy when you roleplay. And there's so many different things that you can enjoy. You can enjoy the camaraderie. You can enjoy the fact that you're solving problems. You can enjoy the fact that you're playing a game. You can enjoy the fact that you can create synergies between either players or character. You can enjoy simply that feeling of triumph. And each one of these, once you understand that this is what I enjoy, help you navigate your games to those places and moments that are most satisfying for you.
We'll give a link to the episode we did about player motivations, and we would like to remind everyone that this also includes the GM motivations, although we actually haven't talked about those very much. And once you know your motivation, you now have a goal. You can now compare between your ideal world, your ideal game, and the current game. And what we are trying to say is that in order to get to that ideal game, you really need some feedback.
Now, roleplay does have a unique set of problems with feedback. In most cases, games are a social activity that you enjoy with your friends, and that often make it harder to give constructive feedback, as you don't want to insult your friends, of course. In other cases, it's hard because of the lack of options. I've known groups that suffered in their games because they weren't plausible alternatives, either for other players or GMs. But I believe that the perfect gaming group, much like the perfect life partner, is not something you find. Rather, it is something you build together over time. And for that end, you need to be able to talk to each other about what makes you happy and what takes away from your happiness at the gaming table. This could be as easy as saying, well, I prefer to have less combat-oriented sessions in the future. Or it can be as difficult as saying, Steve, you're always late to the gaming session, and your character is pretty much being an asshole constantly, and you disregard pretty much everyone else in the group when we say so. So, Steve, what the hell, dude? But I digress. Maybe we should talk a little bit about the different types of feedback that we can give each other within the gaming group.
The first and the simplest is a positive feedback, and by that we mean being positive. It is the easiest yet the rarest kind of feedback, because our minds, biologically, are just wired to think of the worst, of the bad things. We tend to remember bad things that happen. We tend to focus on all of the comments, the bad comments that we've received about flaws and problems in our behavior, in our work. Which is why we also don't actually get to give a lot of positive feedback. It's just, unfortunately, not something we think about all that much. But it is so important and so easy to give. Just say something positive that is good and nice. And it's important. It's important. It doesn't have to be the only thing. In a moment, we'll get to constructive criticism, right? But positive feedback is important because a pat on the back might be everything one needs in order to continue on giving. Positive feedback, even when it's on its own, without any sort of criticism, just, hey, it was fun, without explaining the fun, without trying to get more fun, helps the GM and the player, whoever hears it, to feel like their investment is worthwhile. It's small, but it might be enough. And even if it's not enough, it's something. Hey, this was a very fun game. Hey, we really like this session. Hey, this thing you did with your character during the thing with the dragon, that was awesome. I really liked it. That's great. My investment in the session, in the adventure, in my character, it was worthwhile. You are telling me this directly. It's sort of like a couple that have been living for years, and one of them never tell the other they love them. They assume that they know. Because of course, because of the way they behave. Don't assume. Tell them. Tell them you love them. Tell them that it was excellent and fun.
Let's take a moment to talk about constructive criticism. And I'm going to separate constructive criticism from negative feedback here. Now, there's literally a ton of guides and articles about how to give constructive feedback. And I suggest that everyone read one of those. But I would like to repeat something we've said way, way back in episode 57 about how to present an issue to the group. Now, we've mentioned four basic stages. Number one, present the issue with the facts, not with opinion or accusations. Number two, explain why it is problematic for you. Don't assume that it's a problem for everyone. Stage number three, suggest a solution. And of course, stage number four, present a positive effect of said solution in order to make it convincing. Now, I'm going to reiterate that example that we gave in that episode. For example, guys, I've noticed that we always spent about 12 minutes outside every door that we encounter. This is really bumming me out since I feel it breaks the flow of the game. Maybe we could limit the discussion time to 5 minutes. I think this will also help us feel the tension of having to come up with a solution on the spot, like our character feel. Again, note the stages. 1. Present the issue with facts, not with opinions or accusation. Guys, I've noticed that we always spend around 12 minutes outside every door we encounter. Number 2. Explain why it is problematic for you and not for everyone else. I feel it breaks the flow of the game. Suggest a solution. Maybe we could limit the discussion time to 5 minutes and present the positive effect of said solution. I think it will also make us feel the tension of having to come up with a solution on the spot like our character would feel in that situation. I feel it is very important to present things from your point of view and to not accuse or attack anyone else. This is like the most basic of constructive criticism.
Yes, yes.
And once you do open this issue for discussion, you're basically inviting the other people in your gaming group to help you with the problem you have. And people are much more susceptible to helping someone solve their problem rather than change something because someone feels it's a problem with them.
Yes, exactly. That's very nice. That's very good.
Now, I will add something which I've heard in the past, and I couldn't wrap my head around that for a while until it clicked. Do not punish improvement or positive changes. Now, this sounds idiotic. Why would I punish improvement or a positive change? It's positive. Why would I punish it? What are you talking about? And then someone pointed out to me that people often say sentences like, oh, I see you're finally cooperating with the rest of the party strategy. Good. And this feel like it's not a compliment.
Yes.
Okay? It's like pointing out the flaw that was there before, not the improvement. There's a huge difference between, oh, so you're finally joining us with the plan and saying, awesome work on that plan. You really came through. See? Different.
This will be very important in a minute when I'll talk about GM feedback.
Now, a lot of you might be thinking, okay, so I want to give constructive criticism. I'm going to phrase it as a non-offensive suggestion about something that troubles me. But how do I actually do that? Do you have a specific method? Because we're role-playing games, man. We need a system. We need a mechanic for this. And the good answer is that there are quite a few. And we're going to go over some of them now, and you can pick which one works for you and try to go with that. I basically have two methods of feedback which I dearly love. One goes back to the days when I was leading a creative writing workshop. I call it the round and respond. Basically, one person sit down and everyone else, one by one, give their constructive criticism. That person in the middle does not answer. Simply write down everything people said to him, and at the end can choose either to reply or to simply say, thank you, take that criticism, think about it, let it marinate, and see if he agree or disagree with that criticism. The point here is not to get into the defense game, not to become defensive, because you know you're not allowed to talk. You simply listen to what everyone said, and then at the end either explain some of those things or simply take it to heart and move on. Now, my second favorite option of feedback, and I think I've mentioned it a few times in this podcast, is what have you enjoyed and what would you like to see more of? This is how we do things in my improv troupe Llama Body. At the end of every show, we sit down in a circle and each person say one thing they really enjoyed during that show and one thing they would like to see more of. I especially like the phrasing of want to see more, because it's always forward-looking. It's always supportive of a solution, of something positive that can be done, rather than just saying, okay, I did not enjoy X. Instead of saying, I did not enjoy X, you can say, I would like to see more of Y. This is something concrete that can be done.
This is also my favorite way of criticism, because it works very well in email, I think, when you just ask them, yes, just give me two things that you would like to see different, and two things that you think are awesome and should stay as they are. This is something that I've learned from you, Uri.
Proud to be of service. Another method is simply the one-on-one method. Take the time to meet one of the gaming group and talk between yourself about whatever it is you both enjoy and whatever it is you do not enjoy in the current game. This can be simply helping you see things from another perspective. Now, notice that I mentioned one-on-one and someone else. This is not necessarily a meeting between the GM and a player. This could easily be a meeting between two players who want to discuss and see if they mesh on what they think. It may very well be that one of you would say, God, I really hate it when the GM does the funny voices. It always makes me feel like the NPCs are not terrifying. And the other player said, well, I really enjoy those because I think it's his way of not making the session overly creepy, because it's kind of a creepy setting, you know? And maybe this will give you a different perspective on what it is that happened during the session, and you can see things in a different light. And of course, like Eran mentioned, you don't have to do this in person. Email discussions are excellent, mainly because they give you a time to think about your reply and phrase yourself in the best way.
That's completely true. However, in emails, because of a lack of facial expressions and body language and tone, it is doubly important to be as clear as possible. So not only do you have the time to phrase yourself, you really should phrase yourself as clearly as you can. Leave nothing as obvious. You all know this already because you are on social media and you know how easy it is to get misunderstood or to get obsessive on a specific point that someone said and you think it's really important, but to them, actually, after 13 messages, you realize it was just a misunderstanding. They didn't mean what you think they meant, etc., etc. So be clear if you use emails. And I would like to continue to the specific position of a GM giving feedback to the players, because it's really important. First of all, because the GM has a position of power in the group. And so it's different. If a player tells the GM this and this, and it felt like this and this, it is the GM who is expected to change, because it is the GM who has the power. They are the one who are in control of the session, or at least they are the one who are conceived to be in control of the session and of the group. And if someone has a problem with another player, they would probably go to the GM and ask them to mediate it in some way. So there are two things here that I should talk about. First is the GM using feedback, not criticism, specifically feedback, during the session in order to cement a specific atmosphere around the table. These are the small acts of feedback. These are the raising an eyebrow or simply not addressing someone. Paranoia XP, the system, called them bennies and slaps. And that's where I first learned of this, which is, by the way, a very basic concept in education theory and for everyone who ever trained a dog. Positive feedback will make someone do more of that thing. Negative feedback will make someone do less of that thing. And if it sounds as if we are simple dogs, all of us, that behave in a basic manner, that is completely true, and that is indeed the case. The thing is, the feedback should be subtle. It should be elegant. You can just tell someone, don't do that. But that's really bad negative feedback. It makes them think they are bad in some way. What you actually want to do is reinforce a specific behavior. So if, for example, one of the players wants to start talking about running around the tavern and pickpocketing everyone, but this is a game in which we are heroes and we are all supposed to save the kingdom, and this is really not the sort of behavior that everyone is expecting to happen, and you can see it on the faces of all of the other players, by the way, you can, for example, provide some negative feedback by saying, you don't find anything on any of them. No roles, nothing interesting happens because of the choice that the player just did. This is not how the story continues. And you continue on and turn to another player and ask them what they do. This is negative feedback. Positive feedback, for example, would be if one of the players approach the tavern owner and start talking to them, and then you begin portraying the tavern owner and you start doing your voices and you start explaining stuff and you start to talk to them and there's a conversation. You are now giving positive feedback. This is a thing that you want to see more of. Talking, or maybe in this specific case, talking with this tavern owner. Think about this as you play. As a GM, you have a lot of power. Use it to enforce the atmosphere that you all decided on, that this is the kind of game that you want to play. In one-shots, by the way, in conventions, this is really, really useful because you are playing with a group of people that have never met each other. All of them has different expectations. Even if you gave a teaser to the game that explain that this is going to be undercover espionage game where everything is gray and nothing is clear, and yet one of the players want to just shoot all of the baddies, use negative feedback early and often to put them in a place in a way that is not overtly aggressive and keeps them and the other players happy. You just explain in a subtle manner what it is that the game is about. That being said, there's also, of course, the other type of feedback, which is criticism. The GM giving a player criticism and saying, dude, this does not work. Let's use one of the things that Uri said before, a one-on-one or in-game discussion, one of these, and let's make you a better player. Something here is not jiving. And I think that the best way to do this, and again, because the GM has a position of power, is to give the player a feeling that they have power and a feeling of responsibility. If you go to someone and just tell them, dude, you need to behave like this and this, and they say, but you're the king. You're the one that's supposed to do the this and this. Why am I supposed to do anything? I'm just here to, you know, have fun. Well, if you will instead give them episode 11 of On the Shot of Dwarves and point them at the 11 ways to be a better player, they will realize from reading them that they have a lot of power around the table, that they have a lot of responsibility for the fun around the table. And if they will also then afterward come over here and listen to this episode, they'll realize that having responsibility for fun also means the responsibility to maintain, perhaps even improve this fun. At least partially. At least partially. And that means being open to criticism. At least allowing themselves to receive criticism. Because getting better, as we've already said, it can't be done without other people pointing at things that you're doing, at your current behavior, and saying what can be different, at least what they think can be different. Not everyone is right about everything, but you should be able to at least listen to them. So things can be better.
Words to live by. Actually, words to improve your life by.
Uri, this is time for us to summarize this heavy, powerful topic. What do you have to say?
Well, right now, if you're listening to this, pick up your phone, think about something that you really enjoyed in one of the last few sessions, and then simply text your GM, hey dude, just remembered when we did that thing with the thing in the thing. That was an awesome session, and you're an awesome GM. Thumbs up emoji and send.
Yes, that's really powerful. Really powerful.
Yep. And then think about something that you didn't enjoy, and think about ways to improve that. But do that, do the second one after you're done with the first one.
And do it responsibly. Remember, we said there's two important things here. First, you don't want to insult your friends, so you should research even a bit, even by listening to us again, or by, as we said, read something on the internet before you sit down and talk to them. On how to construct your argument, how to do this conversation. It's not an easy thing to do. And second, research options. A lot of time, we feel as if we can't do anything because we don't have any options, because there are no other players around, so we can't start a new group, or because there are no other systems that do what we do, so we just have to deal with this one and homebrew it until it evolves into something we like. But there are options. There's Roll20 for playing on the internet. There are online forums for finding new players. There are other systems. There are actual plays. There are ways for you to maybe gain the thing that you are looking for in the game, a specific type of motivation, from video games. And then when you go to the role-playing game, you can enjoy other types of motivations. If you really, really enjoy killing kobolds, go and play something on your computer in which you kill kobolds. And then when you come to the table for the role-playing game, you can do something else, finding yourself something new to enjoy. There are options. And if you are unclear about them, and if you are, especially if you're sure that there are no options, ask us. Send us an email to show@dwarfcast.net. We would love to come back to you and show you some options, because so far we've been approached by dozens of people throughout the years, and we've always managed to find them options. We are always more aware than they are, simply because we are so deep into this role-playing thing, of things that they can do, of games that they can play. And we are, of course, not the only ones who do it. Email other podcasts, go to our Facebook group or any Discord or that is about role-playing games and ask. You will get a lot of bad answers. That's fine. You only need one good answer. You only need the one that changes the way that you play from now on, and then it opens your eyes and you say, oh, right, yes, things can actually be different. I've never thought about it. Present your problem, say, I have no idea what to do, and help, let others hopefully help you. We all really want you to have an excellent game.
Pretty much, yeah.
And now, it's time to take the load off.
Take the load off.
This world is carried on the shoulders of dwarves.
This is the part of the show in which we talk about role-playing games in our personal lives. Uri, what is up with your campaign?
Well, last week our episode was about ending your campaign, and it was inspired by the fact that I have ended my campaign, the campaign in which I was the GM. It's been almost 5 years.
Yeah.
It's been one hell of 5 years.
Yeah, Allah, as they say.
Yeah. Now, we recorded the episode about 2 or 3 days before the final session. And it pretty much went exactly as everything we've recorded in the episode. We separated the gaming session into 3 basic parts. First, third was closing up everything that was left open and ending things and closing all the open threads. The second part had the feedback in it. It has an open discussion about what we enjoy and what we would like to see more of. We had a toast. We had an amazing cake with fudge dice made out of real fudge.
Amazing.
Which is amazing. And, you know, wrap things up. And the third part was about where do we go from here? What will be the next campaign? How often do we want to meet for that? Do we want to keep the same group or add someone? And basically, we decided, hey, this has worked so well in the past. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. And we decided on doing a Masks campaign. Actually, doing the Hebrew version of Mask, which is called Wonders, which was translated into Hebrew by our very own technical dwarf, Aviv Manoach. And we're going on a hiatus for a month and a half, I think, until after ICON, the Israeli biggest sci-fi and fantasy convention. And after that, we're going to start our new campaign. So expect a lot of episodes in the near future about how to brainstorm for your new campaign. Or to summarize, the campaign is dead. Long live the campaign.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, long live the campaign. I have been reading Hell's Rebels, the excellent, oh, so good, Adventure Path from Pizer for Pathfinder first edition. And I am pretty sure now that I'm going to run it, probably for a new group, because my current group, well, we already know what our next 2 campaigns are going to be. So we're booked up to 2021 or so. So I just can't run it for them. And also, I don't think they will enjoy Pathfinder 2 as much as I will. So I will probably go and utilize the fact that I am in London and head over to Archway, where there's a branch of RP Haven, a local club, an excellent local club. I've already played with them once before. This time, I will try to run Hell's Rebels, and it's tricky because, according to my calculation, it will take about 18 months. And also, you know, it's hard to tell who the players are going to be. Are they going to be awesome? Am I going to enjoy having 18 months with them? Am I going to have fun? Am I going to be able to ask them to change if I think we should change our relationships in some way? Are they going to be open to feedback? I already started giving the signals by saying so in the teaser. I expect my players to be open to feedback. It is something that I think is lacking from a lot of teasers. I also explained who I am and what I want in a game and what I look forward. So now that I've established what sort of game this is going to be from my perspective, I will be able to compare it to their behavior later on. Like if there is a session, I see that they keep on running into things and killing things, and this is really not that kind of campaign. I mean, Pathfinder, most people will probably think, most people who don't play Pathfinder, will probably think then, ah, you run around and kill stuff. Oh, no, not at all. It's a robust system that allows you to do a lot of things. And in Hell's Rebels, you really need to be a clever and efficient rebellion. So if a player will run around and kill stuff, I have this teaser to show them and say, dude, either we will change something about the way you see the game, or you do not fit this game. Because I've established what this game is about. So I have nothing about bad to say about you as a person. Again, we're returning to what Uri, you said at the beginning. You don't attack. Just explain. There's nothing that, if you're not willing to change your behavior to fit us, then there's no reason for you to stay here. We will not provide what you're looking for, and you will not help us achieve that as well.
Indeed.
And I think that's it. So there's nothing else to say except bring your players and GMs to listen to us at dwarfcast.net. And we are also everywhere else on the internet on the Shoulders of Dwarves. And if you enjoyed this episode or any other, please share it. Share it with your friends, other people as well, if you want to. But it's unlikely they will listen to things if they don't know you. I mean, I would never sit down and listen for 40 minutes for something that someone, random stranger, showed me on the internet.
I don't know. I've watched a lot of things on the internet because random people said, oh, you should watch this. And I said, who are you? And they said, just watch this. I'm no one. And by the way.
No, that's completely true. That's, by the way, why video is so powerful, but audio is so weak compared to that. Then we just can't help. We can never achieve the same heights. Anyway, we've talked enough. Let us say goodbye, Ori.
Later!
On the Shoulders of Dwarves is shared under Creative Commons by attribution non-commercial 4. Intro and outro are by The Cliché Duo, and you can email us at show@dwarfcast.net.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.